Chapter 1 11 o'clock had just struck at the Bourse when, making his way into Champeau's restaurant, Saccard entered the dining room, all white and gold and with two high windows facing the square. At a glance he surveyed the rows of little tables at which the busy customers sat closely together, elbow to elbow, and he seemed surprised not to see the face he sought. As a waiter passed, laden with dishes, amid the scramble of the service, he turned to him and asked, "I say, hasn't Monsieur Huret come in?" "No, monsieur, not yet." Thereupon, making up his mind, Saccard sat down at a table, which a customer was leaving, in the embrasure of one of the windows. He thought that he was probably running late, and whilst a fresh table was being laid, he directed his looks outside, scrutinizing the passers-by on the pavement. Indeed, even when the table had been freshly laid, he did not give his order straight away, but remained for a moment with his eyes fixed on the square, which looked quite pretty on that bright morning in early May. At that hour, when everybody was at lunch, it was almost empty. The benches under the fresh green of the chestnut trees remained unoccupied. A line of cabs stretched from one end of the railings to the other, and the omnibus going to the Bastille stopped at the kiosk at the corner of the garden without dropping off or picking up a single passenger. The sun beat straight down, lighting up the great monument of the Bourse, with its colonnade, its pair of statues, and its broad steps, at the top of which there was as yet only an army of neatly arranged chairs. Having turned, however, Saccard recognized Mazot, a stockbroker, sitting at the table next to his own. He held out his hand. "Dear me, it's you, Mazot. Good day," he said. "Good day," answered Mazot, shaking hands in a perfunctory fashion. Short, dark, a very lively, good-looking man, Mazot, at the age of 32, had just inherited the business of one of his uncles. He seemed to be altogether occupied by the person opposite him, a stout gentleman with a red and shaven face, the celebrated Amadieu, whom the Bourse revered since his famous deal in Celsius mining stock. When the Celsius shares had fallen to 15 francs, and anyone who bought them was looked upon as a madman, he had put his whole fortune, 200,000 francs, into the affair at a venture, with neither calculation nor instinct, indeed through mere obstinate confidence in his own brutish luck. Now that the discovery of real and important seams had raised the price of the shares to over 1,000 francs, he had made 15 million, and his imbecilic venture, which ought to have led to his being locked up in an asylum, had raised him to the level of a great financial mind. He was admired, and above all consulted. Besides, he placed no more orders, but seemed to be satisfied, enthroned, as it were, upon his sole and legendary stroke of genius. Mazot must be desperate to secure him as a client. Saccard, having failed to obtain even a smile from Amadieu, bowed to the table opposite, where three speculators of his acquaintance, Pillerault, Moser, and Salmon, were gathered. "Good day. Everything going well?" he asked. "Not bad, thanks. Good day." Among these men also he sensed coldness, in fact almost hostility. Pillerault, however, very tall, very thin, with jerky movements and a nose like a sabre blade set in the bony face of a knight errant, habitually displayed the familiar...